Let's open in our Bibles to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, as we continue going through the book of Romans.
Obviously, with 16 chapters, it'll take us a while to get through this book. But I'd ask you to stand out of respect for the Word of God as we read, beginning in verse number 18, and we'll read down through verse 21 this morning. Romans chapter 1, verse number 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Father, we thank you for this passage of Scripture. Bless it now as we spend a few moments in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. This passage that we've read addresses a question that I have been asked numerous times, and that's just simply, what about the, we always say in the rainforest or back in the jungle, the people that have never heard the name of Jesus a single time, will they go to heaven or will they have to spend an eternity in hell? A question that many Christians have considered and wondered, and this passage of Scripture very definitely answers that question. And we'll get to that in just a little while, but in this passage, what we see is that God has revealed himself to man. God is knowable. There's a theological bent, not so popular today as it once was, but at the founding of our nation, it was prevalent. From what I understand, it began primarily in France and just spread out around the world of Christianity, and it was called theism. Theism simply taught that God created the world, and then he left, and left us all on our own to fare for ourselves, that he just really didn't care, and we can't know him because he's just so far removed. And this also addresses that doctrine as false. Because God tells us in three ways that we can know that he exists, and we can know more than just the fact that he exists, we can know some things about him. How well do you know God this morning? I hope you desire to know him better, but I hope you know him more than just to know that he exists. I trust you do. Well, in verse number 18, we find the first way that God reveals himself to this world, and that's through his wrath. When he says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And so here God just says, one of the ways you can get to know me is the things that make me mad. His wrath being poured out, the divine consequences on the sin of man. Tell us what God is all about. Oftentimes we wonder what's right and wrong. All we have to do is look around and we can see those things that God punishes and those things that God blesses. God blesses the church that is supporting missionaries. And God blesses the church that is doing their best to get the gospel into their own community. In other words, being a missionary at home in their Jerusalem. The churches that are neglecting these, and those churches are myriad. They're just more than what we can even count or what we would hope for. But the fact is, they're shrinking and they're dying and they're closing down. They say that there's a number of churches that close every single week because they've lost sight of the things that the wrath of God is poured out upon. When you look at the mainline denominations today as they embrace the culture and get further and further away from the Word of God and what He's told us about things, and then you look at these mainline denominations, you have one that just split apart. A worldwide denomination that just split. Two-thirds went one way, decided to conform to the world, and one-third said, we're not going that route. And so they split. You look at the Church of England and called the Anglican Church here or the Episcopal Church here in the United States and how it's shrinking and how they've embraced the world's philosophy, specifically in the area of sodomy. And all we have to do is look at the wrath of God revealed from heaven in a very literal way in Sodom and Gomorrah, and we know what God's opinion of that choice that one makes is. God just destroyed them all, except for Lot and his two girls. It wasn't because Lot was such a great man. Lot had conformed to the world, but God in his grace and his mercy saved him from it. But God said, you can know who I am. Just got to keep tabs on my wrath. The things that I punish. And then you get to know a little about me. You know a football illustration's coming, so here it is. It may not be the last one. But college football plays on Saturdays, for the most part. And I spent 21 years in purgatory. Yes, purgatory exists. It starts with an O and it ends with an O. And it says hi in the middle. And of those 21 years in purgatory, the team here in Ann Arbor won two times. Well, that team from purgatory played yesterday, didn't they? And they played a pretty tough team. The team from down there is ranked third. They played the seventh-ranked team in the nation. And the team from purgatory won pretty handily. I mean, not a huge win like the team from up here had yesterday. But you know, I'm not overly delighted that the Scarlet and Gray won. In case you don't know who I'm referring to, it's the Ohio State Buckeyes played Penn State yesterday and beat them. But I'm not overly thrilled that Ohio State won. You know, the only reason I'm glad they won, because I'm hoping we go into the game at the end of the season, number 1 and 2 in the nation. And I don't really care who's number 1 and who's number 2. I think we're a better team and we should be number 1, but it'd be a whole lot more fun if we're ranked 2 and they're 1, and then we whoop them. That's the only reason. You know why I don't care? Because I'm not an Ohio State fan. And God says that you know who I am by what I root for and what I don't root for. He says the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Now, let's hold on just a minute. He's talking about ungodliness and he's talking about unrighteousness. Are those synonymous or are they talking about two different things? Well, I personally believe in this instance they're talking about two different things, although we often use them synonymously. I believe ungodliness, which just simply means ungodlike, is talking about the things we're supposed to do that we don't. I was just talking a little while ago about the churches that God blesses and the churches that He's removed His blessing from. I remember shortly after I got saved, I was saved in Grand Rapids at Second Baptist Church. The First Baptist Church was called Fountain Street Church at that time, and they were hosting a rock concert. And I remember a fella, Dwayne Stanton, talked to me, and we're talking about that church, and he said that God has written Ichabod over the door. And I remember wondering, what in the world does Ichabod mean? It just means the glory has departed. In other words, God has left their presence. Now, why is that? Well, I think it's obvious they're hosting rock concerts. But you know, at one point in time, that church was very missions-minded. In fact, they started the Second Baptist Church. And they started other good, solid Baptist churches in the city of Grand Rapids. A very missions-minded and soul-winning church. But they left their ways and the wrath of God was poured down upon it. They had an ad in the newspaper every week. And in their ad, they advertised their radio program. Their radio program was entitled, I think it was The Voice of Atheism or something like that. No, The Voice of Humanism. That's what it was called. The Voice of Humanism, which essentially is the same thing. You see, God removed His blessing from it because of ungodliness. They stopped acting like God. Now let's bring that into a personal life. Do we act like God? Do we exhibit His demeanor out in our society? Do we have compassion? Do we have love? Do we show graciousness? Or are we mimicking the world with which just simply mimics its God, which is the devil himself? Do we mimic anger? Do we reveal hatred, impatience with other people? I mean, how do we act in the world? You see, if we're not being God-like, God says the wrath of God will fall from heaven in our lives, and then we wonder why some of the things happen in our lives that happen. The wrath of God is poured out against ungodliness. We need to be Christ-like. But then he uses the word unrighteousness. Well, if ungodliness, and we'll just put it this way in an easy way to remember it, ungodliness, sins of omission, the things we should do that we aren't doing, unrighteousness would refer to sins of commission, the things we do that we shouldn't do. And the world is just rampant with those things. God has promised Israel that land, hasn't he? We call it the Abrahamic covenant, a part of that Abrahamic covenant. It was an unconditional promise that God made to Abraham that his descendants would inherit that land, and the descendants would come through the promised son of Isaac, not of the son of bondage, Ishmael. The Palestinians or the Arabs are the descendants of Ishmael. That land was never promised to them. It was promised to the descendants of Isaac, the Jew. And so look at the times over the years since Israel was reestablished as a nation that the Arabs have tried to annihilate Israel. Against all odds, Israel has conquered every single time. Why is that? Because the Arabs were doing something they weren't supposed to do, according to the Word of God. They were unrighteous in that choice that they made. And so the wrath of God was brought down or revealed from heaven against that, and God stood on the side of the Jew. Now, that doesn't mean the Jews are all great Christian people. It doesn't mean they don't need the Savior. They need missionaries because, as a whole, they've rejected their Messiah. And that's unfortunate. They aren't going to heaven just because they use the Old Testament and because they believe in one God and His name is Jehovah. They need to believe in one God and His name not only is Jehovah, but it's also Jesus. But we need to be careful about sins of commission as well as sins of omission. Usually in the Christian life, we focus on the unrighteousness, on the sins of commission, and we are proud of the things we don't do. My wife and I joke around that during Lent, we give up smoking, we give up cussing, we give up drinking. We never do those things anyway. But as Christians, we're glad that we don't do those things, and we ought not do those things. I'm not trying to say we should in any way. We shouldn't do those things. And we focus on the things we don't do when we should also, while we focus on those things, increase our focus to the things we're supposed to be doing. Because the wrath of God is poured down in both situations. The last phrase I find interesting in this verse, verse number 18, talking about God revealing Himself, making Himself known, allowing man to know that not only there is a God, but what this God is like. He tells us that as He pours His wrath out from heaven, He says it's on those who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Hold the truth. They have the Word of God. Ever since Moses, we've had the written Word of God. Man has known better. Today, the Christians are broadcasting the Word of God and messages from God's Word all around our world. Now with the proliferation of the internet, and you can get it anywhere and everywhere. They hold the truth and refuse the truth and choose the falsehood. They choose the lies. But we don't have to go around the world for that to happen. We can just walk outside the front doors of our church and we've got a whole community full of people that fit in the same category. In fact, you've got people that are in what's called churches today that are holding the truth in unrighteousness. That's a terrible thing. God says the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness and ungodliness. So God is in heaven wanting himself to be known to man. He wants to have a close relationship with you. My mom was adopted. Many of you, I believe, know that. And she always wanted to know her parents. She wanted to know where she came from, her roots. But she wanted to know who they were. And she never had that opportunity. God is not like her biological parents were. God says, I want you to know me. And we ought to have that curiosity to want to know him just as well. And so the first way God reveals himself is in his wrath. In verses 19 and 20, he reveals himself in his person, or we could just say through nature or creation, would probably be a better way to describe that. When he says in verse number 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. I want to back up to verse number 19 here. Something really jumped out at me as I was preparing for the message. Notice what it says carefully. Remember, every word is there for a reason. Nothing's there by mistake. Nothing's there just for filler because he had to have so many words to complete the assignment. But God wants to communicate truth. And he says, I'm going to read verse number 19 again. Because that which may be known of God is manifest, what's the next word? In them. When we consider this passage of Scripture, we look at all of creation around us and we look at the planets and the solar system and we look at the animal kingdom and how God created everything so complex and yet dependent on each other, each system upon each system upon each system. And you pull one cog out, the machine breaks down. God says we need to look inwardly too. Man created in the image and the likeness of Almighty God. And that alone should prove that there is a God and reveal his power and his Godhead. The fact that we can think and we have emotion, we can love and we can hate and we have dislikes and we have likes and all those things, the way that God has created us, we have a moral code that God has built in. He's going to talk about that later on in the book of Romans in just a little bit. But he wants us to realize the complexity with which God created the human body. And when you take the alternate, the atheistic understanding or philosophy, theory of how man came to be and think that, well, you know, we all came from a mud puddle and one thing developed into another thing and there are mutations and these things just developed and then throw millions and millions of years in there to make it appear plausible. God says all you have to do is examine the human body and you realize that that is a lie from the devil to try to pacify the seared conscience of an ungodly man. Trying to convince him that there is no God that he'll have to give an answer to for the way he's lived his life. And that he's going to spend an eternity in hell just like God warned him. Because God loved him. And that devil's lie that they're believing is created by one who has no concern for that individual. They're worshiping a God who hates them. Think about that. They're worshiping a God who hates them. They're in love with a person. The devil is a person, an angelic person, but a person nevertheless. They're in love with a person who hates them. and wants nothing more than to destroy them. Think about that. How unreasonable and illogical that is. But they choose to believe the lie. God says all we have to do is look within ourselves, and we know there is a God in heaven who loves us and created us so intricately and created us in such a way that we can have pleasure in life. I'm so glad I'm not a cow. Don't cows have more than one stomach? That part would be pretty cool. I have to admit, I love to eat. But the reason I love to eat is also why I'm glad I'm not a cow. I'm glad that I can distinguish between something that tastes good and something that doesn't taste so hot. Because God created me that way, demonstrating and manifesting His love for me by giving me taste. I believe all of you know by now I'm colorblind, but I still see color. And it doesn't bother me because I see color. We have a one of those portable clotheslines, one of those, they're kind of look like an umbrella without the covering on it, if you know what I mean. And you put a round tube in the ground and you just plop it in there. Then when winter comes along, you pull it out and they gave you a red cap. Well, I pulled that clothesline out yesterday and put it in the shed. I popped that red cap on there. I looked down at it and I thought, you know, they should have made this some other color. It looks just like the grass. And Guy, just, when I told him that, he just started laughing at me. He thought it was funny. He said, well, Mom and I will be able to find it next spring. But I see color, and I don't have any problem with that. But aren't you glad God gave us color? And the leaves are changing, aren't they? Isn't that wonderful to see what God created? It's because God loves us. God says, look within yourself and you can see there's a creator who isn't just a creator, but he's one who loves you an awfully lot, more than anyone else you ever have come in contact with. But he also, in the next verse, says, look about you. Not just look in you, but look about you. The creation of the world. And it's not in mystery form, is it? It seems like it's so because we have such loud arguments, primarily from one side, the evolutionist side. They shout down anyone who disagrees with them. But it's not in a mysterious fashion, and it's not hidden. God says clearly seen. It's obvious. It's apparent. God doesn't want us to have to struggle to find Him and get to know Him. He wants us to, or He makes it easy for us because He so wants to have a relationship with us. And so we look about at the world about us and we see His power. Jacob's well. I thought it was a good observation that he was just trying to macho up in front of the pretty girl. So he's moving that big stone away. And in my mind, I'm picturing, and I'm doing this, but he's probably struggling with that thing. That's probably a pretty heavy stone. Now think about this. What if it was the moon? But when you consider all the universe, the moon's just a little speck, if even that. Think about holding up Jupiter. Isn't that the biggest planet in our solar system? Think if that was made of granite. It's not, but I imagine there's one out there at least that big, somewhere in the Milky Way or beyond. But God's holding them all up. You talk about power. Talk about strength. And so His power can be known just by looking at the world and the creation about us, but not just His power, but His also His Godhead, the fact that He exists. So God wants us to know who He is, and so He reveals Himself through His wrath, He reveals Himself through His creation or His person, and then He also reveals Himself in His holiness. Verse 21, He says in verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. So the first thing we see is these people who rejected God were ignorant. When they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. They saw His power, they saw His Godhead, and then they shaped a golden calf. Or they cut a tree down and made it into a bird or a frog or We talked a little bit about, not really, but we mentioned the 10 plagues and the gods of Egypt. And they're all animals. Could a cow create anything? Well, these people said they did. Think how foolish that is. Their ignorance. God revealed himself to man, and man, that's the best they could come up with. A cow. And just think about the plight of the Hindu over in India. Starving, and yet there's cows running rampant throughout the streets. Not only were they ignorant, they were unthankful. I was talking about how God created us as we look within to realize who he is. They just weren't grateful for what God did. They took it all for granted and thought they deserved it. And nowadays they say, well, this just happened by chance. One time there was a creature that ate, and then one time there was a creature that morphed into one that could actually taste things. And because that was the dominant feature that was desirable, that's the one that won out. Okay. It's just called unthankfulness for what God has created for us. And they were imaginative. Their minds went to work as God revealed himself, and they came with all these weird things. A lot of weird things going on in churches today. There really is. I've mentioned before about some of these revivals in charismatic circles. Where they oink like pigs. Or they quack like ducks. And they think it's the Holy Spirit moving them to do that. That's foolishness. Their imagination is running wild. The fact is, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. God's holy. We can't just come before God any way we want and expect him to be pleased. What about these churches that have the rock bands? You know, God's holy. They're using their imagination or thinking, well, God is pleased with this. No, God isn't. And that's why I believe God revealed himself as a holy God. They were ignorant, they're unthankful, they're imaginative. And he says they're foolish. Their foolish heart was darkened. No longer able to see the light, to see the truth of who he is. And that's where all the denominations came from. Getting back to what I mentioned previously about the soul, whether they be in a rainforest in the midst of a big city, even here in the Detroit metro area, I can guarantee you there's some that have never heard of Christ. God says they're without excuse. He's revealed himself. And he's given us the responsibility to take this message to them that they might have an opportunity. And so God has taken a lot of steps to reveal himself to the world, to you. And then he's laid the responsibility on us as well. How faithful have we been at carrying out our responsibility? Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth of it. Father, help us just simply to accept what it has to say, that you would be glorified in our lives. Father, thank you for revealing yourself to us and granting to us the privilege of knowing you. Father, may we ever have that desire to know you more. And Father, then pattern our lives according to what we've learned, that we might be the light of the world, as you said. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.